If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
Lizzie, thank you very much. If you'd like to keep that passage open in front of you, that would be great. And I want to introduce two Mr. Men characters to you. Hopefully they're going to come up on the screen. I want to introduce to you Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect, as the name suggests, thinks that he is perfect. That he does everything right and never does anything wrong. But I also want to introduce to you Mr. Worry. He's a very different person. He worries all the time. He's never quite sure about anything. So here's your first question for you to discuss with the person next to you. Which one are you? Which one are you more like? Are you more like Mr. Perfect or are you more like Mr. Worry? Have a chat with the person next to you for a couple of moments. Okay, come back together for me. I guess perhaps not many of us would have said we're Mr. Perfect. Might not have said we're Mr. Worry. We might have been somewhere in the middle. The reason I tell you about these two characters is, these are the guys that I think John was writing to when he had this letter that we've got in front of us. These are the kind of people he was thinking about when he was writing this letter, because in the churches he was writing to, there were people who thought they were like Mr. Perfect. They thought they had done nothing wrong, that they didn't need Jesus and his forgiveness. And there were other guys in the church like Mr. Worry. They thought that they had sinned, they knew they'd done things wrong, but they never quite trusted that Jesus had forgiven them. So in the first part of the talk, we're going to think about what John says to those of us who think we might be like Mr. Perfect. And the second half, we're going to think about those who John says are like Mr. Worry. So why don't I pray for us just for a moment, just to ask God's help as we do this. Let's pray. Father, we pray you would help us to listen to you this morning and to be honest about where we are before you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of pictures are going to come up on the screen. The first one is of a flower. And I wonder if you can see what's wrong with this flower. You'll see that some of the petals on this flower are missing. The flower is broken. The next picture is a picture of a couple of glasses. And both these glasses are broken too. If you were to drink from them, you would hurt yourself. See, these have been pictures of two things that aren't perfect. They're broken. And if we take one look around the world, and perhaps pictures like this that are going to come up on the screen, we know the world isn't perfect either. It's broken. But what about us? Are we perfect or are we broken? The Bible says that if we think we are perfect, we're not only lying to ourselves, but we're calling God a liar as well. Have a look at the verses that Lizzie read for us, the verses 8 and 9, and they should come up on the screen as well. This is where I've got that from, because John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's verse 8. And verse 10, if we claim we've not sinned, we make him, that's God, out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. That's verse 10. It's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? John tells it like it is. So I wonder how you react to hearing that that's about you. I guess most of us would say, if we're honest, that we're not perfect. We don't do everything right. We've probably had to say sorry to someone at some point in our life. But that's not the same as saying that we sin and we need God's forgiveness. And so the question you might be asking is, why do we need God's forgiveness? And to help us with this, I need a volunteer. So anyone want to come up and help me with this? Amber, come to the front for me. Amber, I want you to be my friend. And to help you with this, I'm going to give you two gifts. I'm going to give you the world, and I'm going to give you a cream pie. And what I want you to do is, well, I just want you to take them, really. So here's the world, and here's the cream pie. Oh. I gave Amber two precious gifts. One thought feeling so precious. I gave her the world and she threw it away. I gave her a cream pie and she threw it in my face. She didn't want to be friends with me. She walked away back to her seat and she didn't even say sorry. That's a picture of how the Bible says we've treated God. He's given us this world. He's given us the gift of life itself. He's given us, most importantly, a relationship with him. And we've walked away. We've broken his precious gift of life. That's why there's death in the world. And a relationship? We've thrown it in his face. That's what the Bible calls sin. That's why none of us can call ourselves Mr. Perfect. So whether we think of ourselves as good people or bad people or really, really, really bad people, every single one of us has sinned, the Bible says, and needs God's forgiveness. And to say otherwise is to believe a lie and to call God a liar. I understand that might be tough to hear for us this morning, especially if we wouldn't call ourselves Christians. But think for a moment about this from your own experience. Guess we can all think of times when our parents have taken us to one side and told us off for doing something wrong. Or perhaps it's our boss who's called us into the office for a talking to. And if you're like me, you don't like to hear that you've done things wrong and that you need to say sorry. So what do? Well, when we're told that we've done something wrong, we'll reply by saying things like this. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. It was a misunderstanding. It was all their fault. They're the ones that need to say sorry, not me. And when we're tempted to do something wrong, that we know really is wrong, what's some of the things that we say to ourselves in our heads? What I'm doing isn't really going to hurt anyone. What I said or did to that person isn't that bad. This attitude of fooling ourselves that we don't need to say sorry is, if we're honest, within every single one of us. So can we see how we could do exactly the same to God? He says that we need to say sorry to him. He says that we need his forgiveness. And we say we don't. We don't need to say sorry to God. We don't need his forgiveness. And this first part of the letter, John simply says, we do. We do need to say sorry. We're not perfect. And we're fooling ourselves if we think we don't need God's forgiveness. And yet, as we've read this morning, God gives us every opportunity to say sorry to him. And after we've sung our next song, we're going to think about that a bit more. Mim's going to come and bring us our second reading. So if you've got 1 John open in front of you, she's going to read from chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, avoiding the cream.
So starting at verse 1 of chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands.
Great. Thank you very much, Mim. We're now going to look at Mr. Worry. And I wonder if Mr. Worry is someone who you think is a little bit like you. Wonder if you've ever doubted whether you've been forgiven by someone. I guess one of the ways that we show that is by saying sorry to someone more than once. So when I do something wrong to my wife, Jen, I say sorry to her. Then I say sorry again. And then a few minutes later, I say sorry again. One of the reasons we do that is because we don't trust that we've been forgiven in the first place. So we feel we need to say sorry again and again and again. We think that's going to help them to forgive us. But even when they say they've forgiven us, we kind of tiptoe around them. We want to give them a little bit of space because we're not quite sure whether they like us or love us or hate us. People can think that about God and his forgiveness. Yes, we can say sorry to God. We just did it a few minutes ago. But it's not as if when we say sorry, a voice comes back to us and says, AJ, you are forgiven. So how can we know? How can we know that when we say sorry to God, he forgives us? Well, I need Amber again. Amber, come up to the front. Because obviously, as you can see from my being and the floor, I'm not very happy with you. And I think it's only right, really, that you're punished for the way that you treated the gifts that I've given you. And you'll be surprised to see, everyone, that there's a second cream pie here. And I am sorry, because, well, not really sorry, actually, but your hair does look very nice. And this cream pie is going to absolutely trash your hair, possibly for weeks. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a count of three. On three, rightly, let's remember this now. This pie is going in her face. Let me just make sure I've got room for this. You going to count with me? One, two.
Wait.
What's the matter? I'm just about to get Amber. She's done something wrong. She clearly needs to be punished.
Let me take the punishment that she deserves.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
You want this cream pie in your face?
Kind of.
You're going to kind of. Don't doubt it now. You're willing to take the punishment that Amber deserves for this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move slightly away from the organ in case we get a bill for thousands of pounds. Okay, you ready? Let's do three again then. One, two, three. Amber, sorry, don't walk away too quickly. Because of what Ben has done for you, you are forgiven. Amy can go and sit down. We are friends again. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. As Amber walks back to her seat, she knows that she's forgiven. How does she know? She knows because Ben has taken the punishment that she deserved so that she could be forgiven. So for those whom John was writing to, and for us today who think we're like Mr. Worry, who are not quite sure if we're forgiven, here are some words that are going to come up on the screen that Mim just read for us that are supposed to give us great comfort. If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We'll come back to those words in a minute. And not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world. Amber knew that she was forgiven because of an act in very recent history. Ben took a cream pie in the face. The punishment that she deserved. And we saw it happen, didn't we? We'll all go home and we'll probably tell someone that at church we had cream pies in the face. But in an act of history, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus' death on the cross took a punishment, our punishment, God's anger at our sin, which we deserved, he took it for us. See, that's why it's so important that Jesus really died and the cross really happened. That's why we can be certain that we're forgiven. It's why we don't need to worry. We don't need to make up for our sin by doing good things. That's not how we're forgiven. Because if it was, we'd worry about whether we've done enough. whether we've done enough to be forgiven. And it's not about how many times we say sorry, or we make excuses up, like, I couldn't help it, or it's someone else's fault, or it's not that bad. That's not how we're forgiven either. Because if it was, we'd worry about whether our excuse was good enough for God, or whether we'd said sorry enough times. That's not how we're forgiven either. If we've trusted in Jesus this morning, God isn't angry at our sin anymore. He's taken that sin away from us. He's taken God's anger at it away so that we could be forgiven. That's what those words atoning sacrifice mean in the Bible. Another word that we use for that is propitiation. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Big words, but words we don't need to be scared of. And it's an offer that's open to everyone. Anyone in the whole world, it doesn't matter how bad you are, can be forgiven if they trust in Jesus' death. So I'm not standing here as a Christian saying that I'm a perfect person. I'm not. There's probably people in this world who aren't Christians who are better than me. I'm sure there are. The only reason that I know that I'm forgiven as a Christian is because I've trusted in Jesus. And because Christians have trusted in Jesus, they're saved from God's right judgment of their sin. Jesus has got them covered. And the reality is that although Christians do things wrong, continue to do things wrong, although they try and love Jesus by obeying him, we don't need to worry about that either. Because Jesus is the one, verse 2, who speaks to God in our defense. What does that mean? Well, to finish, this is what it means. As God looks at our lives every single day, and he sees our sin, Jesus is standing before his Father God in heaven, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, I've died for them, so that their sin won't count against them. I'm not angry with them anymore. I've got their back. So we're not perfect. We all need God's forgiveness. But if we trust in Jesus' death, he has got us covered forever. Let's pray for a moment before I hand back to Ben. Father, help us to remember as we go away from here, not the cream pies, not the fun that we've had in that illustration, in that picture, but to remember what it's talking about. It's talking about you taking the punishment that we deserve. Father, help us to be humble before you, to realize that we do sin and we need your forgiveness. And thank you that we can trust in your Son's death for us on the cross, and know for sure, for certain, forever, that you've forgiven us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.